In this episode, our guest Åsa Jagre courageously tried to join in despite a cough, but unfortunately had to resort to the chat throughout the entire episode, and that is why you don't hear her voice more. Hello and welcome once again to Let's Talk About Public Code, a show where we invite members of our community who are actively working with public code. My name is Jan Einarli. I'm a Codebase steward at the Foundation for Public Code, and I'm joined today by my colleague Eric Herman. Hello, Eric.
Hello, Jan. It's been a while since we did one of these, huh?
Yes, it's been a while, and it's very nice to have you back in this 14th episode, I think we're up to now.
That's right.
And in the conversation today, we'll talk to some people who are really started some collaborations.
Yeah, so today we'll be joined by Åsa Jagre at the Swedish Agency for Marine and Water Management, and Konstantin Ai from Intunio, I believe it's pronounced. So
yeah, let's say hello to them.
Yeah.
Hello, hi.
Hello.
And I think, Åsa, you're having a bit of a cough here today.
So we have the chat, so we'll be able to repeat things if you'd prefer to respond in chat. No problem with that at all. I also have a little bit of a cough, so it's December. It's going around.
Yeah.
Nice to be here.
Very nice to have you here. You have developed a plugin for creating Jitsi meeting in Outlooks. Can you tell us a little bit like how this started and why that kind of tool was needed for you?
Yeah, so basically the Swedish Agency for Marine and Water Management, it's a long name. Basically, not only that public organization, a lot of other public organizations got like a requirement which said that, well, due to the fact that Skype is being like phased out and being like losing its support because of Teams, an alternative for video meetings and conference calls was needed. So due to this fact, I think this is where Åsa had the project on her table to find an alternative, and an alternative that was open source, able to be, how would you say, on-prem deployed and also maintained. And Jitsi was basically the conferencing solution that was chosen for this. And well, the issue here was that, well, now you have employees that are used to using Skype in their normal environment, which is basically Outlook, where they send out events and whatnot. And it's so easily integrated, Skype. You just press the button and then you have a Skype meeting in your meeting that you have next week. And the issue was basically that we needed to kind of meet the employees in a place where they're most used to actually do their work in Outlook. So Jitsi wasn't fully deployed in a production environment yet, but we still needed a way to phase them in. And this is when we started looking at ways to integrate Jitsi in Outlook so that when they send out meetings, event appointments, or whatever you call it in Outlook, when you send those invites, you need that link in the meeting. So we found one plugin, which is kind of old. It was a bit, I think, like 4 or 5, 6 years old. And I think they tried it out at other public organizations. And it soon showed to be like really slow. It was using an old boilerplate from Microsoft. So basically, Åsa mentioned to us here at Intunio, we had started working with each other, that this plugin wasn't good. So we started looking at alternatives, and we found that Microsoft released a new boilerplate, which uses more modern technologies. So we basically just developed one. We developed the plugin, and after some discussions internally, not only in our project, Åsa also talked to other public organizations, the need to find a substitute for this old plugin was real. So we basically just said, hey, we actually have it developed and we have a repository for it. How about other public organizations also taking advantage of this? And that's basically like how it started. It was a long story, but that's how it started. And then we had the plugin, and everything surrounding that started from like just us saying, hey, okay, this old software doesn't work. Let's try making it like this instead. Yeah.
Yeah. So very often, It's the instinct of an organization to want to always start with a green field, start completely from scratch, build something totally new. But I understand that there's an upstream first policy. And in this Jitsi Outlook plugin, it clearly started with let's look upstream, see what's there, and augment that. For people who don't really, maybe we have listeners who don't know what an upstream first policy would mean. Maybe that's something that one of you would like to talk about and how that impacts, especially the Jitsi Outlook plugin.
Well, yeah, sure. So yeah, upstream first policy basically is that, I mean, in rough terms, if you have a software, so in this case, it could be Jitsi. I mean, it's also open source, or it could be the plugin. Instead of you just making your own fork and making your own solutions and crafting your own features, you try to communicate with the community, like for the main code base, and try to make a change there instead. I mean, the benefits are many with that approach, because then you have already a mature community that could help you further develop it. The maintenance doesn't fall upon you. It falls upon basically the community. So that's basically what the upstream first policy means. So in the Outlook plugin, what we did was, okay, can we use this? Okay, it doesn't seem to work. Let's look at the community, what's happening. We look at the issues and we see it's issues 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because it doesn't work with like new versions of Outlook. So, I mean, sure, we try to adopt this upstream first policy, and in some cases it works that you could just, hey, up there in the main repository, can we make some changes? And then someone makes a change. But in this case, we found that, hey, we think that trying to make this change up in this main repository will not actually work. We need to do it this way.
Right.
But it was still worth doing that investigation, I think.
Right, absolutely. So an upstream first policy doesn't mean that you're locked into never branching out on your own, but it means you do a thorough investigation first.
Yeah.
And then if it really looks like there isn't a good solution out there that you can contribute up to, then you do greenfield development.
Exactly.
As Eric mentioned, it's often like you want to start out with a green field, and sometimes there's even like a not invented here sort of feeling. Was there any sort of like resistance to do this research of what already existed before you started to develop, like if there's something we can already use, or was that obvious to everyone involved?
I think it was actually the contrary. I think like that actually a lot of people tried to encourage us to use the old version, actually in this case, I'd say. But then when the new version, I mean, you could correct me on this, it was as well in the chat. And the new version actually was shown to work very well. And like the development time wasn't, I think like in most cases, it's, you look at the time, how much would it take to make this new, because it's more fun to make this new greenfield project, but it also takes time. So the old project didn't work for some, but for some, it actually did work. And those people that it actually worked for say, hey, I mean, it works at our place. But you could correct me on this, Åsa. This was actually, this was my experiences, at least from doing that investigation, that people actually wanted us to use the other one.
Agreement there, yeah. So obviously, this isn't the only collaboration that's happening there. What would you say that you've learned about collaborating in this process? And what do you think would be useful to share with others that would be in a place like you were, starting with the investigation of the plugin and then eventually moving on to doing deeper development there?
Well, as a, how would I say, like something that I've learned from, that we learned from actually just going upstream, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is it's actually quite easy to just to communicate with the community. And like something that I learned quite quickly, we all learned, is it's really important to communicate in your, when you communicate with the community and with, like in this case, I mean, if we just look at, instead of looking at the plugin, let's look at Jitsi, like us going to Jitsi to ask for a feature for renaming breakout rooms, for example. I mean, that feature wasn't existent in Jitsi initially. Like it's, so it's kind of a new feature. So I think the lesson learned there is that just start a discussion or just look through old discussions, start poking around, ask around. I mean, it's, in some cases, people just want that extra nudge to just start doing it. So we found that it was quite easy to get an answer if you understand the project, if you understand the vision, if you understand the roadmap, and if you understand your own feature. That's also like a really crucial point. If you want to suggest something, you have to have a great understanding of what you're actually asking. So if you come in saying like, I want to rename breakout rooms and not give some sort of background as to why or some reasoning, and it doesn't align with the goal, with the project's goal, or in this case, Jitsi's roadmap or whatever, then it won't be a positive response, I think.
Right, right.
So it's basically just domain understanding or some sort, like understanding the project. And also what Åsa said, exactly, sorry, like asking them many times.
Yeah.
And it also sounds to me that you got some sort of like positive response, that people were inspired when you came with a real problem and, oh, here's something we can solve. Or did I hear that too positively?
Do you mean like for the main repository?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. When you came and asked, oh, we would really need this, and you were able to, as also say, with clear user stories, tell why you needed it, were people then, oh, all right, yes,
yeah,
that we want to help.
Yeah,
with.
Yeah. So like, for example, like we started with the plugin, but then we, like most of our discussions has actually been directly towards Jitsi for some features. For example, the renaming of breakout rooms. So we wanted to rename breakout rooms. At least this was a requirement that we elicited from employees at the Marine agency or government agency. And looking at the code, I could see that this would actually be possible. I could see that this is possible. You could develop this. So then I was like, should we make a fork? No, I don't think that is good, because then, like we said earlier, we have to maintain that. So then we started looking through the issues, and we found an old thread, like an old pull request and an old issue. So then we went in there and we said, hello, we have received some requirements from some users. The users are part of the Swedish government, and it's a lot of users are affected, and they really would think that this feature would help them moderate meetings. And I asked that question, and I received like 4 or 5 responses, not only from the pull request or issue creator, but also from some like top maintainers for Jitsi. I have to say, like, the top maintainers of Jitsi are really active. That's also a benefit. So they responded to us, and like a discussion started. And what turned out to be was that the person that actually made that initial issue and pull request had missed some of the design guidelines that they had defined. So that's also a thing. Like, so this person had missed this. He had unfortunately like come in between two versions or something like that. And that made basically the Jitsi maintainer say, hey, we don't think this aligns. And we mentioned it again. It's really important to us. Do you have anyone who could do this? And then I think 2 months after, boom, it was in the main repository.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So like basically, like what I said, ask the main repository 1, 2, 3, 4 times. And most people, like, they enjoy discussing things that they work on. Like, even if you get a negative response, it's still they enjoy discussing it. But in this case, it was positive. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's almost a bit of a sidetrack here, but our experience is that when you put something out there, you are lucky if you get someone commenting. Yeah. It's not yet you're going to be overwhelmed.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Jitsi plugin, when an issue comes in, if it's a bug, I'm happy. Like, it's, oh, it's nice. What kind of discussion can we have here? Yeah, so I hope that answers the question.
It does.
So, Åsa, I think this question is maybe a little bit more for you. So maybe you can respond in chat and we can repeat your words. But I understand that there's more collaborations on the horizon, or at least possibilities thereof. And I'm kind of wondering, with the success that you're seeing with this, how does that encourage follow-up? How does that encourage what to invest your time and your staff in next? So I'm curious as to how that's going to, what's the follow-on effect of having success in collaborating in the open?
And we'll get something in the chat here, I think. Yes.
Okay, and Asa writes, you have see a shift in the mindset among the leadership, but of course it's a long journey. Yes, I have no doubt that that is true. And earlier you also mentioned that, I'm just going to read something that you wrote in chat a little bit ago, and when it comes to developing the customizations needed to make the modular solution, that key was making it user-friendly and seamless. That so obviously, those are some of the things that Constantine talked about as well. Is the importance of that and getting that user feedback in there.
And Constantine, you were also mentioning in passing other agencies being interested in using this. Has there been any others also developing?
Yes, actually. And we've just we encourage it. So this collaboration, from the plugin, we started a collaboration with other public organizations or government agencies that were interested in it. And we received feedback from multiple places. This could be good, this could not be good, or whatnot. And the main collaboration has been between the Swedish Agency for Marine and Water Management, us, Intunio, Försäkringskassan, which is basically the government agency for insurance here in Sweden, insurances, the government agency for digitalization, DIG, as we call it here in Sweden, and also Red Pill Linpro, I think is their name. They also work for the Swedish Agency for Marine and Water Management, and they have been the one delivering the Jitsi as a service instance. And they have, of these organizations, DIG have provided with not only helped shape the licensing and also the guidelines and a lot of documentation, they've also provided with some sort of DevOps help for the plugin. Red Pill Linpro have added some features to the repository as well. So, and then the agency for insurance, or government agency for insurances, they actually tried making a fork and making their changes, and will probably be delivering some changes to the repository as well. There have also been discussions in the repository, not only contributions in terms of code, other government agencies have started discussions. And so from the beginning, or initially it was those, and a bunch of other government agencies are also really interested in joining. I think the full list is something that WOSA has better knowledge of. But
one of the things that Asa wrote in the chat just a moment ago is that they're looking forward to a bit of a process alteration to experiment with using the issues and the tickets as input into the procurement process. So I imagine that will be interesting to see how that changes the way procurement for this software development services works.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, these projects that fall under Awesome, I mean, in the end, it's open source. And if we are really if we are good at defining the values and the goals and the long-term goals for the project, if an agency has some things that they want to develop and they make an issue and it falls and it aligns with the goal, then it's just like any ordinary open source project. And we encourage it. It's just fun.
And you mentioned now here Awesome, which is an awesome collaboration. But perhaps it's so new still that not many know it, not even in Sweden. Would you like to expand a little bit what it is and how it came about?
Yeah, sure. Awesome is basically a collection or collaboration of different government agencies that have it's a common goal that we want to encourage open source collaboration between government agencies. Basically, to share knowledge, to share code. It's instead of us making a plugin for the Swedish Agency for Marine, a marine agency. Sorry, I'm butchering the name. I'm really bad at this. The English names of the government agencies. But yeah, so instead of just making it there and then them being the only ones being able to use it, why not make it available for other government agencies that want to use it? I know that, for example, Försäkringskassan used the plugin, and instead of them having a separate developer that also develops it, why not just share the resources, which is the repository? And that's the goal, basically, that awesome is this collaboration to define a process that can work to share code within the Swedish government. And hopefully, I mean, internationally as well, it would be really good. So the Jitsi plugin isn't the only project that, I mean, is in development and is in our sites, basically.
And I guess already now, the Jitsi Outlook plugin, it isn't anything specific for Sweden in that anyone who has Outlook and want to use Jitsi could start using this, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's just Git clone and just use it in your setting. I mean, you could use it in your own private Outlook if you want to. So I think actually we got some contributions from the Netherlands a couple of months ago, someone that used it. And I mean, it's just use it. If you use Jitsi, it works. I'm biased, I guess, but yeah. And exactly like Åsa said there, we act as some advisory organizations within Awesome. As Antonio and Red Pill and NOSAD and Public Code Foundation, which is you guys.
yes. For transparency, we're also listed among the advisory there.
And something that Asa read a little bit earlier is, and I'll just read it, that all development within the digital workplace to create a user-friendly interface is based on common interests. So obviously international. And she goes on to write that the development takes place on the platform that Awesome provides as much as possible. So can you tell me, Constantine, a little bit about that platform that Awesome provides?
Yeah, sure. I mean, not only just the repositories, but another platform is also the forums that Awesome provides within Rocket Chat. I mean, it's not only Rocket Chat. I mean, I guess this is a forum that also extends that. If you know someone in another government agency and you know that they're using Jitsi, but yeah, in Rocket Chat is the most concrete examples. We have some forums, so. For example, if you have one government agency that has some issues with Jitsi, hey, this isn't working as we want to. Does anyone know what the issue could be? And then another government agency comes and, hey, we actually had this issue 1 week ago. Instead of you spending 2 weeks to investigate like we did, here is how we solved it. And actually, like the response has been very positive. It has worked, like sharing knowledge like this. Instead of working in silos, it works. I mean, we work under the same government, so it's why not share that? So yeah.
And Asa writes, of course, sent upstream as much as possible once the development is completed.
Yeah, exactly. So whenever that's possible, just send it upstream for the Jitsi plugin and for Jitsi, if that is the case.
So is it taking it too far, or is it fair to say that it was this work that spawned the Awesome collaboration?
The plugin, you mean?
Yeah, or the basically starting working with Jitsi in this way.
I think so. I think like the plugin was such a small project, but it was really it was a small project. Like in terms of code, it's like 40, 50 lines, but it solves a huge problem. And it's so easy to define the scope. It's easy to define the long-term goals. It's a good outset, so to shape a framework. And like the projects coming after the plugin are bigger, definitely. But it has been tested and in small scale. So hopefully it scales as well. But we believe that it will scale really well, like even with bigger projects. We're seeing it now with one of the projects that we're trying to make public. So yeah, I think so.
Is that one that you can talk about?
Yeah, sure. This is also related to the upstream first policy. So one issue that a lot of employees mentioned was that when you're a moderator within a meeting and you have a bunch of breakout rooms in Jitsi, for those who don't know how Jitsi works, it's basically like any other video conferencing tool where you can have breakout rooms and you can send people into the breakout rooms and you can join a breakout room and have separate sessions. So the first thing we did was ask, hey, Jitsi, is it possible for the moderator in the main room to send a message to one of the breakout rooms? And our response was basically, no, this does not work because architecturally we haven't designed Jitsi like this. this doesn't align with our goal. It doesn't align with how we've designed this. So we went upstream. We got a no, but they still, they still started a discussion. So then we started looking at making a separate project that doesn't affect the Jitsi. So basically, this isn't an extension of the Jitsi code base in itself. Basically, what this project is a Jitsi moderator panel, which takes, they have an API for iframes, which basically this moderator panel absorbs the Jitsi meeting. And then you can interact with that meeting with separate controls that we can control. So in the moderator panel, we can do whatever we want that is available through their API. So in this case, we're not making an unsupported fork from their repository. We are instead using their API in a way that's intended.
Right. So what I see, so first off, the utility of the feature is obvious. We're creating breakout rooms here, and now I have to gather everybody back. So I want to message each of the breakout rooms, say, hey, everybody, 2 more minutes, please wrap up. And so, that's the kind of thing I can really see the utility of. But I can also see the architecturally, hey, that's not the kind of thing we don't want to put every feature into core. We have APIs for a reason. Please build it outside, and then different adaptations, different implementations can be compared against one another, and they're not locked into the one design that was needed in your particular instance. However, what I think we will see is that utility is so clear that probably that'll become an extremely popular plugin.
Yeah, let's hope. That's it is a bigger project. It's not a massive project, but in terms of compared to the plugin, the Jitsi Outlook plugin is really big. And when we demoed this to people that usually are moderators, it was like, oh, wow, this is great. This is something that we want. Like you just said, we're using their API. It's intended to be used in this way because they have basically created the endpoints for a reason. So this is the other project that we're working on. We're currently working on basically defining the goal and the guidelines for collaboration. And a lot of it, I'd say a lot of it is basically derived from what we did with the plugins guidelines and also another project within Awesome, which is the open source template. So this template is basically... Well, you know a lot about it as well. So this template, So this template is basically just an outset for future open source projects that can be used within Awesome or other organizations. And we've used that as an outset and basically shaped it a bit more to fit the Jitsi moderator panel.
Also adding here from Åsa in the chat, she writes that there, like you said, there was a significant demand to be able to write to the group rooms, which was shown during the workshops,
From exactly. We had early on in the project, we had some requirements elicitation workshops with people working at the Swedish Agency for Marine and Water Management. So we elicited some requirements, and a lot of them mentioned this. So it was very clear that moderators in meetings want this feature.
So are there other things that you'd like to talk a little bit about where you see the trajectory or what the future holds with regards to Awesome, the collaboration, or even any of the repositories you've been talking about? Are there things that you're looking forward to in the future that you'd like to share?
Other things that we're working on, hands-on code projects, it's the Jitsi moderator panel. And we're also working on something that is currently being called INA. It's an INA basically. And this is a project that uses a language model to make it easier to search for documents, but using semantic search instead of using something that you would have in your own file management system, in your operating system. So instead of it works.
Instead of it being word search, it's meaning search.
Exactly. Oh, wow. That's really good. Exactly. So we're actually working on making some sort of semantic search dashboard that you can just connect to your file management system and then use semantic search to find files that are relevant. This is the goal of this is also quite just to just to remove all the duplicates? I mean, how often is it that you like search for a file? Okay, I can't find this file, but I know I had this in had it in this email, so I'll just copy this and add it. And now we have a duplicate. And that's just unnecessary. So the intention of this is just basically to make it easier for employees at the government agency that is using it to find documents instead of creating duplicates. So that is also something that we're looking into in the future. Then it's also the open source template that we have been developing, and probably, I mean, if changes are needed, we'll develop that as well. And that's also like just guidelines for future projects that so they can be used to make it easier to define contribution guidelines, like code quality guidelines, and licensing guidelines as well. This is
Something that I understand that there's also some collaboration that's beyond Sweden in terms of the repository template.
Yes, because this is also, I mean, I think WASA has better insights into how like this all fits into the grand scheme of things. But I think the goal is to like lift this into a higher level, not only in Sweden, like being able to lift the framework for Awesome and use it in, I mean, if another country's government wants to use it, it should be available. And like I said, I think WASA has better insights into this than I have. Do you want to answer that, WASA, instead? I think she's typing.
Yeah.
So I guess a little bit of the answer there, specifically with the template project, is that Denmark with the OS2, the Association for or collaboration of Danish municipalities in open source, are going to want to collaborate on the open source project.
Great.
Template.
That's really cool.
And if you're looking beyond sort of practicalities with the code and projects, do you see any futures for collaboration with Awesome? Like, is that going to shape in any kind of ways?
I think this is also a good question for WASA, actually. I think this is more the intention from what I've understood is to basically make this more of an international initiative, basically. Like, that's the long-term future. But
so WASA writes, "We hope that Awesome as a platform for collaborative development will facilitate government agencies in taking initiative for development and further enhancement, and that Awesome's upstream-first approach becomes a natural choice whenever possible. In cases where development projects cannot be sent upstream, the goal is for Awesome to continue developing forms of effective management for repositories with common interests."
Yeah, that was a really good response.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so thank you. We do our best.
Yeah.
Yeah. We always end with one specific question, and that is, who do you think we should invite on an interview here on Let's Talk About Public Code?
I think this is kind of easy. It's Josef Andersson, I think. He's really passionate. I've worked with him a bit. Like, he's helped a lot with, he's done the most when it in terms of like defining the guidelines for the plugin, also like a lot of work for the open source template. He's very passionate about open source and also collaboration within the public sector. So I think he's I think he would be a great guest, actually.
Great.
And do you have another name, WASA, or do you also want Josef to come on?
Josef, okay, excellent.
All right, so this has been very nice, but I think it's time to wrap this up and also let WASA have a little bit of a rest here with the coughing.
Yes, and thank you both, especially WASA, coming in for this podcast. It's been really nice to hear your perspective. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us. And also, like to add, I think WASA sent in Kenneth Edvall as well. We've worked with him a lot within Awesome. He could provide a lot of valuable insights as well, I think.
That's excellent.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you very much for having us here. Thank you. It's been nice.
So you can subscribe to the podcast at podcast.publiccode.net.
Yeah, and also there you can find the previous instances, the episodes we've done prior to this as well. So there's more to look at there.
Yeah. And we will be back after the new year with some new episodes. We have a couple of them lined up already.
And also, we do regular community calls, especially around the standard for public code, which the Foundation for Public Code is maintaining. And so you can find out more about that stuff at publiccode.net.
And it's in the footer, so you know where to look.
Right, right.
And I think that's about it. Let's see you later. Bye-bye.
Ciao. Thank you again.